Amen. Isn't that good news? Why don't we stand together as we pray and we'll get into our message this morning. Hallelujah. Can you pray with me? Say, Heavenly Father, speak to my heart. Change my life. Open my eyes to see truth in a new way. And help that preacher up there to get it right. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Amen. Well, you know, we don't have a Good Friday service, so, you know, I'm going to talk a little bit about Good Friday before we move into the resurrection. And we all know that Jesus was crucified on Golgotha with two other people, and we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about the two other criminals who were led with him to be put to death. So we're going to start in Luke chapter 23. We'll bring that up on the screen. It says, there were also two other criminals led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We're going to skip down to verse 39. We'll go down to verse 39. Then one of the criminals who were hanged, blaspheme him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and save us. But the other answered, rebuking him, saying, don't you even fear God, seeing that you're under the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man, he's done nothing wrong. And then he said to Jesus, look, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, you'll be with me in paradise. And so, I believe very much that this is a prophetic picture. The fact that Jesus is hanging on a cross, and it's the greatest yet most horrific event in history, and it's shared with two criminals. And I always wondered why even mention these guys, yet I believe there's something awesome. There's a picture here of what God is trying to do. Amen? And so, because of his love, he suffered for and with his creation. Jesus is always central to what's happening in our lives. Every time Jesus goes through suffering or goes through resurrection, he shares it with the people that he loves because God wanted to have a restored relationship with men and women. Amen? And so we see that he is sharing this moment. In Matthew chapter 27, the criminals, we read this in Luke chapter 23, and it really paints a picture that there's one really nice guy hanging on the cross. And the other guy's kind of, he has issues. But in reality, when I read the story, began to read it in Mark chapter 15, verse 32, Matthew chapter 27, verse 43, it says, he trusted God, let him deliver him. Now if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same things. We read in Matthew chapter 15, verse 32, it says, let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe. Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. So what you see here is that both of these guys, both of these thieves, were insulting Jesus. So they both had the same issue. All right? It's pretty clear that both of these men were insulting Jesus. The Bible says we're all, at one time, enemies of God. The Bible says that we're all sinners. And it says that none is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking after God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good, not a single person. Their talk is foul, like the stench of an open grave. Their tongues are filled with lies. Snake venom drips from their lips. The mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. They rush to commit murder. Destruction and misery always follow them. They don't know where to find peace. They have no fear of God at all. And this is what the Bible says. This is in Romans chapter 3, 3 to 18. Everyone has sinned. We've all fallen short of God's glorious standard. It doesn't matter who you are. You can be a doctor. You can be a lawyer. You can be a garbage truck delivery guy. You can be a garbage man. You can be a president. It doesn't matter. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. At some point, the sin nature within us has caused us to violate the laws of God. But you know what? It doesn't end there, because God loves us so much that he wanted to make sure he could restore us together in fellowship with him. Isn't that good news today? So both of these sinners, one on one side going, if you're the Son of God, deliver yourself. The other guy's on the other side, if you're the Son, and they're both mocking him. But I believe in a very short period of time, maybe it was an hour, maybe it was 2 hours, I don't know. One of these guys, his eyes were open. I believe that maybe it was that he saw the way Jesus responded to the Roman soldiers. That he could turn and say, hey, listen, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When most of us on that cross would be mad and hurling insults back, saying, how could you dare? Don't you see what I've done for you? We'd be angry. We'd be full of fear. Jesus hung there and showed love in the midst of suffering. And I believe that one man, his eyes were open, and he realized that, hey, this guy's different. He had a change of heart. Aren't you glad he had a change of heart? Verse 23 of Luke 39, it says this: then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself. You know, we've already established that both these guys were sinners. One had a change of heart. I'm going to call one of these guys humble. I'll call the other one proud. But the proud guy said, hey, if you're the Christ, save yourself and save me, by the way. And I want to say that if you're God, I want you to save me from my current tragedy, the current situation that I'm in. And this is where a lot of people are today. They say, you know, they want nothing to do with God. They mock Christianity. They have no place or in their heart to even think about God. They never even think of going to church. Now, I wouldn't even bother going to church. I want nothing to do with God. But then when they get in a tragic situation where their life is in danger, they say, oh, God. How many know what I'm talking about? Many of us were there. I was at a time in my life, even as a teenager, I'd get myself in a real bad situation. I'd be like, God, where are you? And it was like I wasn't serving him. I think you should call out to God in need, but not from an unrepentant heart. This guy was crying out to God, challenging God, but he didn't repent. He didn't say, hey, I'm wrong and you're right. He just said, prove yourself to me. And this is where our society is today. Many people say, God, you need to prove yourself to me. You need to prove that you're going to change my life. You need to prove, get me out of this situation and then I'll serve you. But there's no repentance. There's no turning to God and recognizing that, hey, I'm a sinner. The other man responds differently. Let's look what he says. But all of a sudden, the other guy, and this is verse 40, answers rebuking him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing that you're under the same condemnation? We indeed receive what is due our reward, but this man's done nothing wrong. And then he looked at Jesus, and he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. So here, I want to look at this for a minute because it's important. Number one, he rebuked the other criminal, saying, don't you even fear God. Don't you even fear God. It's important to understand that we don't fear God because we're his children. You know, the agape love of God is in our hearts. We love God. But there's a part of us that has to realize that this, if your heartbeat stops tomorrow, you're going to be in eternity. You have to realize that God Almighty, you have to have reverence for the fact that when you die, your eternity, it's in your hand. But God is going to determine. The Bible says that we're going to be judged for every word that comes out of our mouth, whether good or evil. We're going to stand before God on judgment day. And for those who are saved, it's not a judgment of condemnation. But many of us are going to weep and say, I could have said this, I could have done this, and I didn't honor you with my life. And we'll go into heaven with very little reward. But there'll be those that stand before God that will be separated from God for eternity because they didn't take the time to have reverence for God. Where is the reverence for God in our society? People mock God. I went to the kids' movie. I forget what it was called, the little animals there. Zootopia with the kids, and there's a part, I don't know if you saw it, where they make fun of speaking in tongues. You remember that? Where is the reverence for God? If you don't believe in God, fine. You have a different belief, fine. But respect God. And so there is no fear of God. And this is what this guy says. He says to the other guy, hey, where's the fear of God? I just woke up. I realized, hey, I deserve this, but he doesn't deserve this. And then he turned to Jesus. He said, or the second thing he did, he said, I'm a sinner. I deserve this punishment. And I think it's important that we come to a place where we realize that we don't deserve heaven. That we're separated from God because of our actions and our deeds. You try to save somebody who doesn't think they're drowning. You'll go down with them. Unless you know you're drowning, unless you know you're in danger and need saving, you're not going to reach out for the hand of another. And unless you recognize that you're in need of Christ, unless you recognize that you're separated from God because of your sin, you're not reaching out. God can't grab a hold of you. And he turned and he said to the other guy, we don't deserve to be saved. He's a righteous man. We deserve to be condemned, but he doesn't. In other words, he's saying, I'm a sinner. Now let's look what he does. He turns to Jesus and he calls him Lord. My Bible says all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This guy decides, hey, listen, I'm going to fear God. I'm going to fear him. I'm going to respect him. And listen, the mercy of God is so awesome. You say, well, you don't understand, Pastor, what I've done. You don't know what I've done, how evil of a life I've lived. Listen, this guy in 1 minute is going, hey, God, you know, and he's mocking God. And then all of a sudden he turns around and says, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm a sinner. I was wrong. And Jesus looks to him and says, you'll be with me in paradise. Isn't that awesome? So he admits he's a sinner. He turns to Jesus and says, you are my Lord, which means I come under your authority. And then he does something that's really, really cool. He says, Jesus, do me a favor. When you come into your kingdom, would you remember about me? Don't forget about me. One of the sinners, the proud sinner, was concerned about saving his current life. The other sinner was concerned about his eternity. One wanted to save his bacon. One was saying, hey, I realize now that this is, you know, life is going to continue and I want to make sure I'm in a good place. And how many know that when we're humble, Jesus is going to bring us to the place of salvation? God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. And that's what it comes down. You have to decide in your heart today, am I going to be hard and proud against God, or am I going to have a repentant heart and say, God, save me. God, restore me. Hallelujah. John 19, verse 18. Did you guys find it warm in here? We'll get the ushers, if you can crack the front and back door. Let a breeze come through here. Breeze of the Holy Ghost. John 19, verse 18. It says, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the center. It doesn't matter what you've suffered in life. Jesus was central to your suffering, and Jesus is central to the suffering of mankind. There's no way you can say, God, you don't understand. You haven't been there, because Jesus made sure. Listen, I'm going to know what suffering is. I'm going to suffer between, in the center of two suffering sinners, to prove to the world that I'm in the center of their suffering. Amen? And so Jesus understands. Buddha doesn't understand. He's dead, by the way. Hare Krishna and all the other guys, they don't understand because they're dead. They're in the grave. But here's a man who came and suffered with mankind to say, listen, I'm central to the suffering of men because I want to live with him. He was tempted in every way just as we have tempted, yet without sin. He understands your suffering. He understands your pain. He's walked through it. Whether you were saved or not, it doesn't matter. He was there and he wept with you. When you were being abused, when you were being raped, when you were being insulted, he was weeping because he was there and he was drawing you, saying, I understand. I've been there. I've suffered with you. He's a good God. Amen. If you're going to clap, clap. Good. I mean, hallelujah. We love you, Lord. You're good. And you know what? The story doesn't end there. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 50 to 54 says this, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, yielded up his spirit. And then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked, the rocks were split, the graves were opened, and many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised." Isn't that awesome? And we're going to talk about why there was the raising of the dead, even as Jesus was dying. It says, coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. All right? Now let's go down. I want to say this. What had happened when he died, the moment he cried out and breathed his last breath, the veil of the temple in Jerusalem was torn from top to bottom. Now you have to realize this is not a little curtain. This is 60 feet high, 30 feet wide, 1 inch to 4 inches thick. Nobody knows how thick for sure, but it was thick. And it took like a whole bunch of men to just maneuver this curtain. This was a huge curtain, and it separated the Holy of Holies. And so behind there was the Ark of the Covenant. It's where the presence of God dwelt. And the presence of God was confined to that place. The Holy Spirit was confined to a building behind this curtain. Let's pretend this curtain is the Holy of Holies. And once a year, the high priest would go in to make a sacrifice for the people of Israel, because he would bring the blood of a lamb and he would bring it in behind the curtain and put it on the mercy seat for the sins of the people. But people could not come into the presence of God. They just couldn't. So God was stuck behind a curtain, and all God wanted, the Holy Spirit, I believe this is what happened. The Holy Spirit was behind the curtain and he was waiting. Since the Garden of Eden, 4,800 years at that time, going, hey, man, I'm stuck behind this curtain. I want to be back in the hearts of people. I want this restoration so bad that the moment Jesus died, the veil of the temple was torn. So the Holy Spirit left the temple, and he just said, I just can't wait. I'm going to find some saints. Oh, I don't have any. I'm going to jump in some dead bodies. And he jumped in the bodies of the dead saints, and they came back to life. Isn't that good? The veil had been torn, and the veil was a constant reminder to people that they were separated from God because of their sin. And Jesus, I want to say this, Jesus is the veil. Amen. People could not go into the presence of God because there was something stopping them. And when we look at John chapter 14, verse 6, look what it says. John chapter 14, verse 6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus was the bearer. He was standing there protecting the very presence of God. Isn't that good? And that's why the Bible says it's by his stripes that we were healed. As his body was being whipped, it was a tearing of his flesh so that the Spirit of God could move and live in man. I'll show you the next verse here. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 20, let's bring that verse up. It says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. When Jesus' flesh was broken, the veil was broken. So the Holy Spirit said, I'm going to go live in the hearts of men again. Isn't that good news? The Spirit of God wants to get inside of people. And Christianity is the only religion, if you want to call it that, where the Spirit of God comes and lives in his people. Isn't that good news? James says this, the brother of Jesus said, the Spirit yearns jealously for our affection. The Spirit of God yearns for relationship with men and women and children. God yearns for that fellowship. So the moment you turn your heart and say, I'm a sinner, I need you, God, the Holy Spirit comes into you. Isn't that good news? Because God loves us. You guys okay? How many got the Holy Ghost living in you? Can we look at a few more scriptures? Romans chapter 8, verse 11. And I want to show you this. to prove that I'm not being flaky, that I actually, listen, you got to hear this. Romans 8:11, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, who raised Jesus from the dead? The spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. If he dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his spirit who dwells in you. So the Holy Spirit gives life to your mortal body. The closer you get to the Holy Spirit, the more divine healing you will see in your life. Why? Because it's the Spirit of God that brings healing. That's why by Jesus' stripes we are healed. What does that mean? It means when the veil was torn, the Holy Spirit came in. And the more you invite the Spirit of God into your body, the more healing you're going to have. Because it's the Spirit of God that brings life to your mortal body. So the Holy Spirit comes out of the veil and says, there's some dead people. I'm going to bring life to their mortal body. And he jumped in and poof. These guys are walking around because the Spirit of God brings life. The Holy Ghost brings life. As Christians, we should have miracles as the norm. I'm telling you. I remember one time I had a friend. I was praying for him. I was preaching at him. I was trying to get him to accept Christ because I really cared about him. He was a drug addict. And dealing drugs and everything. He just had no interest in God. He would insult me and everything. And I went over to visit. His mother had gotten saved. His father had gotten saved because that's a whole another story. But I was there, and I was down in his room, and he was out with some friends, and I was kind of living with the guy, so it was okay that I was there. But I was there, and I was praying. And I just said, God, I just pray right now that Holy Ghost, you just put a coal from the altar of heaven in my hand. And I believe, Holy Spirit, that I've did everything I could. I tried to preach to him. I tried to tell him the truth. He just won't hear. And I just prayed, and my hand began to burn like fire. And I was like, well, this is really cool. I said, what am I going to do with this? I'll put it on his pillow. My hand was just like burning, right? And I went and put my hand on his pillow, and I said, God, I give up. You do it. I said, Holy Spirit, you arrest him. Listen, if you can arrest Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, you can rescue him. Clothesline him off his horse, whatever you got to do. And I put it on his pillow, and I just left, and I went home. Well, the next morning, I get a phone call. It's his mother. She goes, Travis, she goes, you won't believe what happened. I said, what happened? So I was sitting having breakfast with the kids, and Derek runs by me. And he's got all this stuff in his hand, and he runs out the front door. And he has a bomb, he had a hammer, and he's smashing all this stuff in the front yard. She goes, what's wrong with my kid, right? She goes out there, and he's smashing all his bongs and his drugs, and he says, I'm done with this, because I want to know Jesus. And he became an evangelist overnight. Isn't that awesome? All of that work, but you know, God's Spirit can change in a moment what takes man forever to change. In Acts chapter 2, verse 24, it says this, but God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep its grip on him. The Holy Spirit, I want to say as I close, the Holy Spirit is not confined behind a curtain anymore. That curtain was torn. The Spirit of God is able to come and live in your life. And when you repent and put your faith in Christ, the Spirit moves in and eternal death is defeated. You might die, your natural body might die. It will die. If Jesus doesn't come back, all of our bodies will die, but we get to live forever with Christ. Isn't that awesome? If you're coming to Christ, you need to come in humility. If you're already a Christian, you need to stay humble. Got to keep a humble heart because God wants to move in us. I want to say this. Here's one more verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. It says this, and he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment. This translation says a guarantee, and the New Living actually says the first installment. That guarantees everything he has promised us. How many would like a second installment? Amen. How many would like a third installment? Because Paul says that we're to continually be filled with the Holy Ghost. Continually be filled with the Holy Ghost. And because the Holy Spirit loves relationship with man, when we come to God and we say, listen, I just want a little more of you, Holy Spirit. I just want to know you more. Do you know what? Some people will get to heaven and they'll say, okay, they're guaranteed because they've given their heart to Christ. They get to heaven, they realize they could have been hanging out with God on earth. But here they waited. The guarantee was enough. Listen, I'm not happy with the guarantee. I want the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want the baptism of fire. I want more of God, more of God, more of God. Because that's the only way you can have a victorious life is because it's the Spirit of God that brings life to your mortal body. Isn't that good? I'm going to play a song for you. I want you to hear it because I believe it's a song from the heart of God. Talking about the veil being torn. And it's all about relationship being restored with man. Amen. You got the song there, Nevin? You can bring it up. And just listen to the words.
Come out of hiding, you're safe here.
Just turn it up and listen to the song.
There's no need to cover what I already see. You've got your reasons, but I hold your peace. You've been on lockdown, and I hold the key. 'Cause I loved you before, you knew it was love, and I saw it all. Still, I chose the cross, and you were that I was thinking of when I rose from the grave. Now rid of the shackles, my victory's yours. I tore the veil for you to come close. There's no reason to stand at a distance anymore. You're not far from home. By intimacy, no, just throw off your fear and come running to me. Oh, 'cause I loved you before, you knew it was the love, and I saw it all. Still, I chose the cross, and you were the one that I was thinking of when I rose from the grave.
Hindered love will only become part of the story. And oh, as you run, what hindered love will only become part of the story. And oh, as you run, what hindered love will only become part of the story. And oh, as you run, what hindered love will only
isn't that awesome? that's the heart of God. Hallelujah. Let's give him a hand. Praise the Lord. We worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't we stand for a moment? We're going to have Neil and Marg lead us in communion in just a moment here. And want to say this, that if you're here and you want to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, okay, I'm going to ask you to do something. We're actually going to pray. I'm not going to make anybody come to the front, but I want to see a show. How many here, you're saying, I want to become a Christian. I want to accept Christ. I want to have this relationship. Just lift your hands here. Is there anybody in this place you don't know the Lord? You got your hand up? Okay, great. Awesome. Anybody else, you want to make a decision to have the Spirit of God come and live inside of you? Amen? Awesome. Okay. Well, why don't we pray this together with our sister here and ask the Lord to come. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you did by sending your Son to die for my sins. Forgive me for my wrongdoings. I call you my Lord and Savior. Send your Spirit to live in my heart. In Jesus' name.